Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to sift through the information, pull out the key insights for you.
Making it all make sense fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So today, we're digging into something really interesting around student learning outcomes, assessment, you know, SLOs, and specifically how that works in performance-based nursing education.
Right. And our source material is actually a transcript. It's from one of those Friday SLO talks from coaches.
Yeah, the California Outcomes Coordinators Hub.
Mm-hmm. And what's great is you really get the feel of a live discussion, you know? Yeah. Higher ed folks talking shop, working through the nuts and bolts of course design and figuring out, like, how do we really know students are learning this stuff?
It feels very practical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not just theoretical.
Totally.
So this talk happened just after the first day of spring. Apparently had that kind of fresh start energy. The hosts were Jarek Junio from Santa Ana College and Enrique Jauregui from Fresno City College.
Okay.
And they brought in this team from the University of Texas at Arlington. Stacey Greathouse, she's a learning architect, instructional technologist. Dr. Leslie Jennings, who's on the nursing faculty.
The content expert, presumably.
Yeah. And Messina Minter, a librarian. And Megan Zara, an OER librarian. So quite a mix.
They actually called themselves a motley crew, which I love.
Yes. It really paints a picture, doesn't it? This diverse group tackling a pretty big challenge related to assessing student outcomes.
And you see that a lot now, right? Bringing people with different skills together, teaching, tech, library science, the actual profession itself, like nursing, that's often where the really good ideas for course design come from.
Definitely. And especially for SLO assessment, it needs those different angles.
For sure.
So our mission here, our deep dive, is to unpack how this UTA team, this motley crew, put together a perioperative nursing clinical course.
Okay.
And what really caught my eye was the time frame. It was super compressed.
Uh-huh.
And how they were so focused on the SLOs, the assessment, the alignment. It wasn't like a relaxed semester-long project.
No, it sounds like high pressure.
Exactly. And I think it gives us some, you know, really valuable takeaways for designing and assessing courses, especially in demanding fields like nursing, where what students can do is critical.
Performance really matters there. Okay, so let's get into it. What was the big challenge they were up against?
Well, this perioperative nursing clinical course was, get this, a Maymister course.
Oh, wow. Squeezed in between spring and summer.
Yep. Just 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks for what sounds like a pretty substantial course.
Right. Dr. Jennings mentioned it was like cramming a 16-week course into, less than 3 weeks.
Whoa. Okay. That's ambitious.
And they were just doing lectures. They had to combine the theory, the didactic stuff, with actual clinical observation.
Which normally runs side by side over a whole semester in nursing, right?
Exactly. So why create this intense, dedicated course? Well, they said it was about filling a gap.
A gap in.
In exposure to perioperative nursing. Their clinical partners were saying students needed more, and they hoped it might spark some interest in that specialty.
Ah, so responding directly to industry needs and maybe guiding career paths, that ties right back into program-level outcomes assessment, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Making sure the program is relevant.
And it really shows that challenge in nursing ed, covering all the bases, but also giving depth for specialties, all while juggling things like clinical site availability.
Yeah, it's a constant balancing act.
So this course, even though compressed, was a way to tackle that head on. Very proactive.
Okay, so facing this challenge, they used this motley crew framework. We got to talk about that phrase. How did it work for them?
Well, the core idea, it seems, was getting a deliberately diverse team where the skills overlapped but also complemented each other. You know, a holistic approach to designing the course and making sure the SLOs were solid.
Makes sense. So what were the key roles in this crew?
They laid out a few. First, the content specialist. That's your knowledge anchor, right? Someone deep in the profession.
Oh, Dr. Jennings, the nursing faculty member.
Exactly. Making sure the content was accurate, relevant, up to date, and that the SLOs really reflected what perioperative nurses need to know and do, grounded in practice.
Crucial. Who else?
Then the learning architect, Stacey Greathouse. They called this role the navigational strategist.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Focusing on that critical alignment, making sure the SLOs, the lesson objectives, the activities, the assessments, the tech, it all fits together, coherent. Mm. And based on quality standards, like quality matters.
So the big picture person, ensuring pedagogical soundness and measurability of the outcomes.
Right. Then you've got the instructional technologist, the digital hall builder.
Huh. Loves these names.
Me too. This person handles the LMS setup, the digital tools, making sure the tech actually supports the learning and assessment, not hinders it.
And Stacy covered some of this too, right?
Yeah, it sounds like her role blended the architect and technologist functions somewhat, making sure the online space works smoothly for assessing those SLOs.
Okay. What other roles were vital?
The accessibility specialist. They describe this as an all-hands-on-deck advocate.
Important.
Hugely. Making sure the learning environment was inclusive for everyone, considering cognitive, physical, cultural, linguistic needs. Making sure all students could access the material and actually show what they learned in relation to the outcomes.
So assessment is fair and equitable.
Exactly. And finally, the OER librarian, the knowledge wearer's curator, Megan Zara.
Another great title.
Isn't it? Finding and vetting those free or low-cost resources, OER, checking alignment with outcomes, bias, diversity, licensing, making sure they actually help students meet the SLOs effectively.
And Messina Mentor, the other librarian.
Yeah, she was key too. Using the library's databases and collections to find those essential, sometimes subscription-based resources, supporting students directly in their learning path towards the assessments.
It's really clear how each role contributes something specific but necessary for hitting those student learning outcomes effectively. It's about the skills, not just titles.
Precisely.
And they mentioned a ship's code. What was that about?
Ah, yes. The ship's code. That was basically their team agreement, their shared values. They deliberately set these up to make the crew mentality work.
Smart. Laying the groundwork for collaboration.
Totally. Especially when you're working intensely on something like SLOs, they needed clear expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So the code included things like a growth mindset.
Always learning,
yeah.
Improving teaching and assessment.
Right. Improving quality of life for the team and the students. Focusing on a supportive environment for reaching those outcomes. Empathy was big, too.
Understanding different perspectives, student needs.
Yeah. And practical stuff like structured co-working sessions, over-communicating through preferred channels.
Keeping everyone in the loop, but respecting how they work best.
Uh-huh. And finally, accountability, quality, hitting deadlines. All essential for delivering a course that actually assesses learning well in that short time frame.
That sounds like a really solid foundation for a high-performing team focused on student success. It's more than just teamwork. It's a shared philosophy driving how they approach SLOs. Okay, so how did this crew, with their code, actually structure the course to get that alignment, especially so quickly?
The structure was really deliberate. They used this high-context seas travel theme throughout.
Okay, like a metaphor.
Exactly. But it wasn't just fluff. It tied everything together, made the learning journey feel more connected for students working towards those outcomes. So didactic lessons became travel destinations.
Phew.
Uh-huh. Participating in flipped classroom stuff earned you tickets in. Showing you were ready for simulation day involved a passport.
Okay, I see the pattern.
And Sim Day itself had international customs. Mm. Plus, Dr. Jennings loves travel, so it felt authentic, connecting to the idea of surgery as a kind of journey, too, with clear steps linked to the SLOs.
That's a clever way to make complex nursing content maybe a bit more engaging, memorable, better than just dry facts.
For sure. Yeah. And then there was this principle they called Holy Hail language.
That name. What does that mean?
Haha, yeah, it's memorable. It's all about strict linguistic alignment, total transparency. Meaning, if a specific phrase or verb is in the student learning outcome,
okay,
that exact same wording needs to show up in the lesson outcomes, in the instructions for assignments, in the course content, and in the rubrics used to assess the work.
Wow, complete consistency.
Complete consistency. They gave an example. An SLO about analyzing roles in surgery linked directly to a lesson outcome about using the steps of the nursing process, ADPI.
ADPI.
Yeah, the mnemonic. Assess, diagnose, plan, implement, evaluate. That exact phrase, ADPI, would then appear in activities and assessments related to that outcome.
Got it. So no ambiguity.
None. And they consciously used Bloom's taxonomy levels too, making sure the lesson outcomes build up logically towards the higher level skills in the main SLOs.
Scaffolding.
So the language itself guides the student. That semantic consistency sounds powerful. Students know exactly what's expected for demonstrating their learning.
Absolutely. It creates that clear thread through the whole experience. Students see how everything connects back to those main course SLOs.
Makes total sense. And they used a consistent structure for the modules too. Embarking, exploring, engaging, extending. Predictable structure helps in a fast-paced course.
Yeah, reduces cognitive load.
Exactly. And they tried to make it richer too, adding Dr. Jennings' own stories, podcasts with nurses, bringing in that real-world feel to illustrate the SLOs in practice.
Humanizing it.
Right. And they gave students a detailed session itinerary. Super transparent about what happens in live sessions and exactly how it links back to the course objectives, the SLOs. No mystery about why they were doing anything.
It really sounds like every single piece was meticulously planned with those student learning outcomes front and center.
It does, yeah.
So let's talk tools.
Yeah.
How do they manage all this collaboration and keep everything aligned, especially under pressure?
A big part of it was shared spreadsheets for tracking resources.
Like just a list?
Oh, way more than a list. It was pretty sophisticated. It tracked where the resource was, the license, super important for OER accessibility status.
Like pass-fail and accessibility checks.
Yeah, exactly. Plus Notes was like the central command center for all the course materials supporting the SLOs. Everyone could see everything.
Organization is key when you're moving that fast. And the librarians, how did they fit into finding and managing these resources?
They were critical, absolutely central to vetting everything and making sure it supported the SLOs properly. Messina Minter talked about using big database aggregators like Simmons, plus nursing-specific ones like Sage and Gale.
Finding the academic goal.
Right. And Megan Zara, the OER librarian, focused on Merlot, OpenStax, finding quality, free, or low-cost stuff that fit the learning objectives.
So covering both traditional library resources and OER.
Exactly. And a cool moment was when Messina found resources from ARN, the Association of Perioperative Nursing Registered Nurses, and realized Dr. Jennings was affiliated.
Oh, so that opened doors.
Big time. It gave them access to really specific, relevant materials, perfect for the course SLOs. It really shows the value of that motley crew idea, right? Different professional networks and knowledge bases uncovering things, cognitive diversity paying off.
Totally.
Yeah.
That professional connection unlocks key resources. Amazing. Now, Stacey mentioned H5P. How did that tool help?
Yeah, H5P was a key bit of tech for them because they'd done that groundwork with the Holy Hail language.
That consistent wording.
Precisely. They could feed those learning outcomes and content snippets into H5P, and the tool could then automatically generate interactive activities, quizzes, drag and drop, summaries that use the exact same language.
Ah, so reinforcing the SLOs through the activities themselves.
Directly. They mentioned using the summary activity type in H5P specifically for teaching and assessing processes, like that ADPI nursing process.
Okay.
So it provided that scaffolding, again, from learning the steps in an activity to being formally assessed on them, all using consistent language tied to the SLOs.
So using tech not just for delivery, but to actively build and assess understanding aligned with the outcomes.
Yeah.
Smart.
Very smart.
And they had a master alignment document too.
Yes. That sounds like it was the ultimate map. It visually linked everything. The tech tools, the specific activities, the content.
Yeah.
All tied back to the specific student learning outcomes.
Like proof of alignment.
Exactly. Crucial for quality assurance, like if the course went through a quality matters review, QM loves that kind of clear documentation.
Right. Showing the intentional design.
It provides concrete evidence that every single part of the course was there for a reason to help students achieve those specific SLOs.
Incredible thoroughness. Okay. So nursing is high stakes. Performance matters. How did they handle authentic assessment of these SLOs?
They used a mix. It wasn't just about final exams. They built informative assessments, things to track learning and give feedback along the way.
Okay.
Dr. Jennings talked about a concept map assignment that students actually built on throughout the whole 2.5 weeks.
Ah, iterative. So it grows as they learn.
Exactly. It lets students build understanding gradually, and it gives the instructors insight into how students are progressing towards the outcomes. That then scaffolded up to the big summative assessment.
Which was?
Students had to observe a real surgical procedure and then create a final comprehensive concept map. That map had to show they understood the key concepts and could apply them in that real-world context, directly assessing those higher-level SLOs.
So demonstrating understanding through application, not just recall, much more authentic for nursing.
Absolutely. It mirrors what they'd need to do professionally.
And did the motley crew approach influence the fairness or inclusivity of these assessments?
It sounds like it did, because they had that team approach with the accessibility specialist and librarians involved from the start. They ensured the resources underpinning the assessments were open, accessible, and considered diverse learning needs related to showing competence on the SLOs.
Good point. Built-in inclusivity.
Yeah. And they even included pause points or layovers in the course design.
Layovers. Sticking with the travel theme.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, recognizing how intense that Maester pace was. These weren't just empty breaks, though. They were structured moments for student well-being and reflection.
Like what? Like an activity building a travel playlist related to the sounds and environment of the operating room. Little things to acknowledge the human side of learning, especially in a stressful field like healthcare.
That's really thoughtful. It shows they weren't just focused on the outcomes, but also the students achieving those outcomes in a healthy way.
Exactly. It's a holistic view of student success, understanding the pressures of that condensed format and trying to mitigate them so students could actually focus and meet those rigorous learning demands.
And I thought it was interesting they even made a student version of that resource spreadsheet.
Yeah, that was clever. They simplified the internal master list down to just what students needed. The APA citation, a short note on why it's relevant, the license, accessibility info, and importantly, an estimated workload.
Workload estimate vital in a short course.
Totally. It gave students transparency and helped them manage their time, which is crucial for being able to engage properly and meet the SLOs in that compressed time frame.
Okay, this has been a fantastic look inside this UTA project. Really practical insights into designing for student learning outcomes assessment. Let's try and pull together the main takeaways for everyone listening.
For sure. I think the first big one is just the power of that collaborative, diverse, motley crew. Getting different kinds of expertise content, pedagogy, library science, accessibility, tech, all focused on the SLOs, really strengthened the whole process.
Yeah, that synergy seems key. What else?
The absolute focus on meticulous alignment. That holy hail language idea really drives home how critical consistency and clear language are. Every single piece, from SLOs to rubrics, needs to echo the same goals. It gives students such a clear path.
No guesswork. And the integration of resources and tech.
Right. It wasn't haphazard. It was thoughtful, strategic. Librarians vetting resources, using tools like HYP, not just for fun, but to specifically reinforce and assess those consistently worded outcomes. Tech serving the pedagogy and the SLOs.
And finally, that dual focus.
Yeah, the commitment to both rigorous academic outcomes and student well-being, those pause points, the focus on the human side, especially in a high-pressure field like Mersing, that's a really valuable model. You need both for true success in meeting learning outcomes.
It really does feel like a template for how educators can be more intentional, more collaborative, and really focus on creating learning experiences that work in helping students achieve SLOs,
Yeah. Even
when things are tough, like short timelines.
Definitely.
So as you're listening, here's something to think about. How could the principles we've talked about, that motley crew idea of bringing in diverse skills and that intense focus on alignment, like the holy hail language, how could those apply in your area, in your teaching, your course design, your assessment work?
Yeah, what could you gain by deliberately seeking out different perspectives, by making the language around your learning outcomes crystal clear across every single part of the student experience? How could that boost effective learning in your context?
It's worth considering.
And if you want to dig deeper into some of the specifics mentioned, definitely look into things like the Quality Matters rubric. Explore OER platforms like OpenStax. Check out what H5P can do for creating interactive content.
And just generally think about the benefits of open educational resources for accessibility and affordability, Yeah. Which ultimately helps more students succeed in meeting those learning outcomes.
Exactly. Maybe just take a moment to reflect. Could a more collaborative, more aligned approach make a real difference in your own work? Could it lead to more effective, more meaningful learning for the people you teach or train?